while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again.
Yes. Hallelujah.
This morning, we as a church, we want you to know why. Yes. We want you to know why we know that he lives.
Amen.
Save my children.
I know he lives because
he
saved
a family. God bless you. Yes, I can mend my legs. I know he lives because he can hear me without the validation.
I know he lives because even though I fail him daily, he still loves me.
How does he live? Because he provides a home for me and warm and nice and clothes and food for me every day. I know that Jesus lives because he knows what he wants to do with it.
I know that Jesus loves because he gave me a mom and dad because I'm not struggling with anything.
I know he lives because he's freed me from depression, anxiety, and it's because of him I'm going on 6 months sober, so thank you, Jesus, for everything you've done.
I know that he lives because he freed me from depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, abusive relationships, insecurity, self-doubt, and since I've given my life to Christ, I have so much peace in my life now, and this is the happiest that I have ever been.
You know, I know that Jesus is alive because when I wake up in the morning, I feel peace and happiness. And God knows that I struggled with depression at one time and anger and doubt, confusion, a lot of things. Basically, I know that Jesus is real because he took all that away from me. And I'm forever grateful.
I know he lives because I've been set free. I know he lives because he changed me.
Hey everyone, I just want to let you know that I believe Jesus lives because in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 5, the Apostle Paul asked, or do you not realize in yourself that Jesus Christ lives?
I know he lives because he healed me.
I know he lives because I'm blessed to wake up by his grace every morning and go to sleep by his grace every night and enjoy and be blessed the rest of the day. This is why we know he lives. What more could you ask for than lives that have been changed by the power of God? Than lives that have been changed by the power of Jesus Christ? Our lives have been changed, and that is the evidence that he lives. This morning, I want to give you 5 reasons why I know he lives. The first reason why I know he lives is because he woke me up this morning. Amen. Did he wake anybody else up this morning? Amen. I hope the church ain't still asleep. Come on, somebody. But listen, if he woke you up, I want you to comment, thank you, Jesus, he woke me up. Because he didn't have to wake us up. He didn't have to share his breath with us. He didn't have to share his oxygen with us. But because he lives, he woke you up this morning. And in your right mind, you're there serving God. The pandemic, this virus, hasn't been able to separate you from the love of God. What's going on today hasn't been able to separate you from the power of God. You're still praising God. You're still serving God. Why? Because he woke you up this morning, just like he woke up the ladies that got up real early on that first Easter. They got up early in the morning. Why? Because they had a mission. Listen, they had a mission inside of them, put there by the Holy Ghost, put there by the presence of God. It was God that told Mary to wake up early in the morning and prepare some spices to go and tend to the body nobody. When they got there, that tomb was empty. There was nobody there. Listen, I know he lives because he woke me up this morning. I know he lives because he woke you up this morning. And he also lives even because he woke up the sinner this morning.
Yeah, yeah.
The Bible says that he causes the sun to rise on the righteous and on the unrighteous.
Yes.
Come on, somebody. We're all going through this pandemic. Amen. The righteous and the unrighteous. Come on, somebody. But for the Christian, we know the goodness of God. We know the faithfulness of God. And we don't take nothing little insignificant for granted. Come on, somebody. The Bible says that we are to live with thanksgiving in our hearts. That we are to thank God constantly. That we are to praise God constantly. This is why you shouldn't get tired of praising God. I hope that you're not tired of praising God. Listen. Don't let this stay-at-home order take away your praise. Don't let this stay-at-home order take away your worship. I pray that you still get up on Sunday morning and get dressed. Hello, somebody. And get into the presence of God. I hope that you're still lifting your hands. I hope that you're still clapping your hands. I hope that you're still singing along. Because if you're not careful, the devil, this pandemic, can steal your praise, can steal your worship. But I don't know about you. I'm not going to let nothing steal my praise. I'm not going to let nothing steal my worship. I'm going to get into the presence of God. I'm going to press in through praise. I'm going to press in through worship. And why do I praise and why do I worship? Because I'm thankful and grateful, not just for the big things that God has done for me, but I'm grateful for the small things that God has done for me, like waking me up this morning. I know he lives because he woke me up this morning. Did he wake you up this morning, church? Did he wake you up? Did he wake you up? Come on, somebody. Thank God you didn't wake up in a prison cell. Thank God you didn't wake up in some cheap motel. Thank God you didn't wake up hungover. Thank God you didn't wake up with a needle in your arm or a crack pipe laying beside you. But thank God that he woke you up in your right mind, saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost.
Right.
I know he lives because he woke me up this morning.
Yes.
And secondly, I know he lives because the stone was rolled away.
That's right.
Come on, somebody.
That's right.
The Bible says that when the ladies got there, the stone was rolled away. There were no soldiers there. The centurions weren't there. They were supposed to be there guarding the tomb because the Pharisees and Sadducees, they went to the king and they said, "Hey, king, we remember that when this deceiver was alive," they thought that they called Jesus a deceiver. They were the ones being deceived. They were the ones deceived themselves. And they said, "We remember when he was living, the deceiver said that on the third day that he would rise again." And so he says, "You know what, you need to go send some soldiers to go secure the tomb." But listen, when the ladies got there, the soldiers were gone. Come on, somebody. When the ladies got there, the soldiers got ghosts. You ain't hearing me. Come on, somebody. They weren't there no more. And the stone was rolled away. Now, why is this key? Why is this vital? Because listen, for the soldiers to leave their post meant certain death for them.
Yeah.
You ain't hearing me this morning. These soldiers, listen, they were not supposed to leave their post, because if they left their post, the king would have them killed. The king would have them murdered because they left their responsibility. They left their post. That's how it was back in those Roman days. And listen, not only was a stone rolled away, but the soldiers weren't there. You know, this stone, this tells me that the soldiers experienced something. This told me that something happened with the soldiers. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us, isn't real clear about what took place with the soldiers. We just knew that they were there and all of a sudden they weren't there. But we do know that this stone was rolled away, the Bible says. I want you to know that 20 men, 20 strong men couldn't roll this stone away.
Wow.
That's how big and gigantic and heavy this stone was. It wasn't some little pebble. It wasn't a little concrete cylinder, my friend. This was a heavy stone. And this stone could not even be rolled away by 20 strong men.
Wow.
This is why I know he lives.
Yes.
Because I know it wasn't man who moved that stone, but it was God.
Yes.
I said it was God.
Yes.
It was God who rolled away the stone, just like it was God that on Good Friday, when Jesus gave up the ghost, when Jesus hung his head and died, the Bible says that the temple curtain was split in two from the top through the bottom. The temple curtain was torn in two. You might have missed that. You might not understand that. It says from the top to the bottom, it was torn in two. Listen, we all know that if a man was to tear the curtain, it would have been torn from the bottom to the top. But it didn't say that. It said that it was torn from the top to the bottom. You know why? Because it was God reaching down from heaven, and he reached out. He was the only one that can reach the top. And listen, he got that curtain, and he tore it. And he tore it all the way down to the bottom. Symbolic of what? Symbolic of man now had access, because Jesus has shed his blood to enter into the presence of God, to enter into the Holy of Holies. This is why the Bible says, let us come with confidence as we approach God. Before, we could not have that confidence. Why? Because there was a barrier right there. Oh, but God got rid of that barrier. Hello, somebody. And just like he tore the curtain from the top to the bottom, he also rolled away the stone. He rolled away the stone, that heavy stone that kept us between us and Jesus. It was before us and Jesus. I'm here to let you know this morning that God is rolling away the stone that's in front of your heart. God is rolling away that stony heart because he wants to make his grand entry. He wants to come into your life. I'm talking to you, Christian, even the believers out there. You have a stony heart because you've been hurt. Come on, somebody. You've been hurt in the church. You've been hurt with your family. You've been hurt with people. You've been hurt in life. But I'm here to tell you that God is about to roll away the stone in your life. The stone was rolled away by the power of God. And this power is still on display in the church today. This power is still on display in the saints today. It took a lot of power to roll away that stone. It took a lot of force to roll away that stone. But I got good news for you here this morning. That same power is still active and alive in the church today. That power is still manifested in the church. It's still manifested inside the believer's life. How is it manifested today? It's still manifested in miracles. You ain't hearing me this morning. God is still in the miracle working business. You need a miracle. God got it. You need a miracle. Look to God. He still heals the blind, cause the blind to see, the lame to walk, the deaf to hear. God is still a miracle working God. Shout amen.
Amen.
His power is still on display in his miracles. He's still doing miracles in the midst of this pandemic. His power is in display in the power that he's able to keep you saved.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody.
Come on.
Some of you, listen, you're serving God. You've been staying saved now. Listen, before you couldn't go a week without drinking, a week without doing drugs, but now you're going on 3 months, 6 months, a year,
man,
2 years, on, 5 years, 10 years, that you have been clean and sober. You're saved and sanctified. You know why? Because that's the power of God. I'm going on 20 years. I'm 20 years saved.
Come on.
20 years. You know why?
Amen.
Because the power of God.
Come on.
The power of God has kept me. The power of God not only saved me, but it's kept me from going back to the world.
Yes. Right.
Thirdly, I know he lives because the tomb is empty.
Yes.
Because the tomb is still empty.
Come on.
Huh? It says they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus in the tomb. The women went looking for the body of their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but when they got there, they could not find the body. But if you go to Muhammad's grave,
come on now,
his remains are still there.
Talk about it.
If you go to Gandhi's grave, his remains are still there. If you go to Buddha's grave, his remains and his ashes are still there. All these are false gods. All these are people that are people, just man that other people worship and idolize, and they make them out to be gods, but there are no gods. They ain't no gods. You know why? Because God, a real God, doesn't stay dead, my friend. Oh, but our God is alive. Our Jesus is alive. If you go to Jerusalem, matter of fact, Sister Rosa went to Jerusalem last November. She posted it on Facebook this morning. She took a video of the empty tomb. Listen, if you go to our Lord and Savior's tomb, the tomb is still empty. I know he lives because the tomb is empty.
Yes. Preach it.
You know, Jesus just borrowed the tomb for the weekend. You want to know a fun fact? Huh? Ask me what that fun fact is. You know the tomb was the first Airbnb? Oh, come on, somebody. Huh? That tomb was the first Airbnb, and Jesus only rented it for the weekend.
Oh, come on.
I know he's alive because this tomb is still empty.
Yes.
And fourthly, here this morning, I know he's alive because he delivered me from dead things.
Oh, come on.
Did he deliver you from dead things?
Yes.
Oh, come on, somebody.
Preach about.
Yes.
I know he's alive because he delivered me from death things.
Yes.
The angels looked at the women and they looked at them baffled and confused and amazed. And they said, why do you look? Just read it. It says, why do you look for the living among the dead?
That's right.
Even the angels were like, what are you doing here? He told you like 100 times when he was here with you. And why are you still looking for the living among the dead? I know he's alive because he delivered me from dead things. Oh, come on. These women, they were still kind of connected to some dead things. There's some Christians that you might still be connected to some dead things. Oh, you ain't hearing me this morning. The Holy Ghost is speaking to some of you here this morning. There's some believers, you're still connected to some dead things. Come on. You still got grave clothes on. Come on, somebody. Oh, but Jesus is saying, loose. Come on, somebody. It's time to be loosened. Come on, somebody. It's time to come out of them grave clothes. It's time to come out of that grave stone. It's time to come out of that tomb and live and leave those dead things in the past. I know he lives because he delivered me from dead things. I used to look for the living among the dead. I used to be that person that used to look for the living among the dead. I used to look for life and things that brought death, like alcohol, drugs, sex, sin, the club, parties, and the things of this world. I was that individual. I was that young man that thought that the life was in those dead things, that thought that the life was in that joint, that thought that living it up was in drinking it up. I thought was that individual that thought that life was in the lights, in the club, in the parties. Oh, but listen, I found out real soon that stuff that I thought had life in it really brought death, because the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus.
Right.
I used to think like that. I used to look for the living amongst the dead. You used to be the same way. Don't look at me like that. Hello, somebody. Yep. We used to be the same way. But listen now. Come on now.
Yes.
Somebody say now.
Yeah.
Somebody comment now.
Yeah.
But now, my friend. I don't look for life amongst dead things, but now I look for life in the living Christ. Come on, somebody. I look for life in the living Word of God. This is where I go to look for life whenever I need a pick-me-up. I don't go to the drugs no more. I go to the Word of God whenever I need a pick-me-up in life. If you're down in life, you're depressed in life, you're down there having a hard time, pick up the Bible. It's time to look for life in the living Word of God. Now I don't look for life in dead things, but I look for it in the living Christ, the living Word, the living Godhead, who is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Today I look for life inside the church. You ain't hearing me this morning. This is where I come to look for life. Even though I cannot go to the building with you all and be surrounded by our church, listen, when this thing is over, I'm going to be in the house of God. And I pray that the devil don't take you out during this coronavirus, but I pray that I see you in the house of God. Why? Because that's where the life is at. That's where the river is at. Come jump into the river of life. Jump into the river that is full of joy, full of peace, full of life. Now I look for life in worship, in praise, in prayer, and in fasting. That's where I look for life. I don't look for life in dead things no more. Some of you need to quit looking for life in dead things. You need to quit looking for a good time in dead things. Oh, come on, somebody. You need to quit looking for life in dead things. Start looking for life in the things that give life, which is the Word of God, the people of God, the edification of God, the prophecy of God, the songs of God, the praises of God, the worship of God. That's where you will find life and life more abundance. Amen. Fifthly, I believe he's alive because he said so. Because he said so. The scripture says, the angel tells the ladies, remember how he told you. That's what the angels told him.
Yeah.
Right, Brian?
Yeah.
Right, Pastor Josh?
That's right.
He says, remember what he told. Some of you need to remember what he told you.
Come on now.
Some of you, you're going through it. You go through it in your Christian walk because you start to think there's no life. You start to think that different things, you go through it. But listen, what you got to do at those times, you got to remember what he told you.
That's right.
Remember what he told you. Come on, somebody. Remember his promises. Don't forget his promises. Don't forget how he promised you that he would raise you up. How he promised you that he would save you and redeem you. How he promised you that he would save your children. That he would use you. How he promised you. Listen, he would bless you and give you a beautiful family. And how he would restore your marriage. Remember what he told you. What did he tell the ladies? What did he tell the disciples? He told them, the Son of Man has to be crucified and be persecuted and die, but on the third day, he will rise again. Come on, somebody. Listen, remember that he told you, you're going to go through stuff. He says, in this world, you will have trouble. You may say, well, why are we going through this, Pastor? Why are we going? So many people say, I never thought I would live through a pandemic like this. I never thought that I would live through something like this. We see different times. We see documentaries on World War II and World War I and this and that and all these bad things. And we say, my God, I'm glad I wasn't living during that time. Oh, but you're living during this time.
Amen.
He said, well, you may question God's love. But listen, his word always confirms it. And he says, in this world, you will have trouble.
Yeah.
But that's not the end of the verse.
Come on,
come on, somebody. Some of you need to quit stopping short of the end of the verse. He says, but be of good cheer. Come on now. But be of good cheer. Because I have overcome the world.
Yes, amen.
And if I have overcome the world, because I'm living inside of you,
come on now.
You will overcome the world too.
Amen.
Remember what he told you. I don't care what trial or tribulation you're going through. Remember what he told you. Remember what he told you in prayer.
Yes.
Remember what he told you during that time of separation and fasting. Remember what he told you at that altar call. Remember what he told you when you were worshiping in the house of God. Remember what he told you at that Mighty Men of Valor, that conference, that world conference. Remember what he told you. You know, I don't believe everyone, and I don't always believe everything that I'm told. I'll admit, some people, they tell me stuff, and I kind of raise my eyebrow a little bit. Because I don't believe everyone, and I don't always believe everything I'm told. But you know what? I've been serving Jesus for 20 years. For 20 years, I've been serving Jesus. And he has yet, I said he has yet,
yes,
to lie to me. Yes. Come on, somebody. He has yet to lie to me. He has yet to misguide me. And he has yet to let me down. Huh? Listen, you can take his word and his promises. You can take them straight to the bank and cash them. They ain't gonna bounce. Come on, somebody. They ain't gonna bounce like some people's checks. Come on now. Huh? You can take his promises found in the scriptures, found in the word of God. You can take them straight to the bank and cash them, baby, because they have value. They have substance. They have weight. They have power behind them. You can take it to the bank and cash it. Huh? You know what you need to do? You need to take it from the kids. The kids who sing, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Come on, somebody. Take it from the kids, because even they know.
Come on.
Even they know that Jesus loves them. Why? Because the Bible. Because the word of God, the living word of God, tells him so. And who is the word? Jesus is the word. And 1 John chapter 1 verses 4, in that chapter it says, and the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Come on, somebody. Who was the word that was made flesh? That is the only Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, that was made flesh. He was in the beginning at Genesis chapter 1 when it says, and God spoke and there was light, and God said there was light, and God said there was this, and then God said there was that. That was Jesus. The words of Jesus. That was the word of God, is Jesus Christ himself.
That's right.
So I believe he is risen because he said so.
Yes.
He said so. Huh? And listen, we can believe everything. We can believe everything that he said. We can believe everything that he said is going to happen. It's going to happen. If he said he's going to come back for us, he's going to come back for us. If he said he's going to come back for a church without spot or blemish, guess what? He's going to come back for a church without spot or blemish. I don't know how he's going to do that, because there's a lot of spots and there's a lot of wrinkles on the church. There's a lot of spots. There's a lot of stains on the body of Christ. Oh, but what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. There's still power in the blood. There's power in the empty tomb. That's how he's going to make a way. That's how he's going to wash away our stains and our blemishes. I believe he lives because I believe every word he has spoken to me through his word, through prayer. We can believe everything he said is going to happen, is going to happen. So as I close here this morning, you may be saying to yourself, well, Pastor, you may be saying, how can I believe? If I didn't see the stone rolled away, How can I believe if I haven't personally seen with my own two eyes the empty tomb? You may say, well, and then on top of that, you may say to yourself, I'm still looking for life in dead things. I understand where you're coming from. But let me listen to me. You can't come to God with your humanistic reasoning. You must come by faith. You can't come to God with your humanistic reasoning. There's so many trying to come to God with their humanistic reasoning. You can't come to God like that. You got to come by faith. By faith, you got to come to God. I want to read you this verse in John chapter 20, verses 24 through 29. Listen to what Jesus here, listen to what happens here in John chapter 20, verses 24 through 29. This is where Jesus deals with such a person who comes to him, who tries to understand him with humanistic reasoning. But the human reasoning. And here Jesus deals with such a person. Matter of fact, this person was one of his own disciples. You know, Christians have given this guy the nickname Doubting Thomas. And this is what it says in John 20, 24. It says, now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, he was one of the 12 disciples. He was not with the disciples when Jesus came. In other words, this guy, Thomas, wasn't with the disciples when Jesus appeared to them after his resurrection. Because all the disciples, they thought he was dead. And then when he resurrected from the dead, Jesus started to appear to the disciples. First, he appeared to the women. Then all of a sudden, he told the women, go tell Peter and John. Go tell the disciples. Go tell the men. And then slowly but surely, as the days went by, Jesus began to appear to them. Because some of the men, some of the disciples weren't believing the women. So one by one, Jesus started to appear to them. But he hadn't appeared to Thomas. At one time, they were all together, except for Thomas. I wonder why he wasn't there. Maybe it was because of his doubt. I pray that when the doors of the church open back up, that you're there and you don't let doubt hold you back. All of a sudden, it says that Thomas was not there when Jesus came. It says, so the other disciples, they told Thomas. They said, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, listen to what he said. Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were. And put my hand into his side where he was pierced by the sword. This is what he says. Until I see that, I will not believe. There's some Christians, there's some people out there that have the same mentality as Thomas. A week later, you know that trips me out? That Jesus didn't like run to him. Huh? No, he let him sit. He let him go through it. Come on, somebody. Sometimes as Christians, we want God to hurry up and come to our rescue every time we cry out to him. Listen, he left Thomas out there, come on somebody, to battle with his own doubts, to battle with his own fear, to battle with his own frustration. Remember, he was a disciple. He loved Jesus. He didn't understand. Everybody else was talking about how Jesus is alive and they're all happy and they're all like excited because they see Jesus and they're excited, but not Thomas. For a whole week, he went through it. How long you been going through it? Because of your doubts. Because of your doubt that he's going to provide for you. Because of your doubt that he's going to protect you. Because of your doubt that he loves you. Because of your doubt that he has a plan and a purpose for your life. Sometimes our doubt can be our hindrances. Sometimes our doubt can be our barrier. You could be praising God too. You could be excited too, but because of your doubts. Come on, somebody. And then listen to what he says. A week later, his disciples were in the house again. And Thomas was with them now. He's starting to come along. He probably kind of came to his senses, like, you know, at first he was kind of like having a little pity party by himself, right? Like Christians, we love to do. And we want to stay away from church. Come on, some, that's why we, some have, you know, their church attendance is like Swiss cheese. They're 1 week, they're there 1 week, but then absent another week. Come on, somebody. Huh? Oh, come on. I know you're going to log off now. You're going to like shut me off, man. Come on, somebody. Don't tune me out yet. The good part's coming. Huh? It says this. It says, and Thomas was with them. He came to his senses. He said, you know what? I'm going to come back to the church. I'm going to come back around to the saints. And then all of a sudden, it says, though the doors were locked. They were in a house, just like you're in a house today, and your doors are locked. Tell somebody, because you don't want the coronavirus to come in. The doors are locked. Listen, I don't care how many locked doors you got. Listen, I know there's a lot right now. Listen, we live in a city with locked doors and broken dreams. And there's so many locked doors in our city. But listen, you know what? Jesus is still coming in, baby. Jesus has still made his way in. Jesus is still walking into doors, into houses with locked doors. You know why? Because he loves you. You know why? Because he has a plan for you. You know why? Because even in spite of your doubt, he still has a purpose for your life.
Come on now.
It says, Jesus, despite the locked doors, he came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Now you need to catch this. What does this mean? You know what this means? This means Jesus in his glorified body, he didn't have to walk through the door. He just walked straight through the walls. Huh? He walked straight through the walls, my friends. That's what it means. Study the scripture. That's what it means. Are you saying Jesus was a ghost? Listen, we have the Holy Ghost. Huh? When he was before he had died on the cross, he was 100% man. Huh? He was confined to the physical elements that were confined. But now that he was resurrected from the dead, he doesn't have the physical limitations upon him no more. Even though he can cross over and still do the physical things, this is why he still does healings and miracles today.
Yeah.
Because he'll still cross over and do the physical things. Come on, somebody. Don't be afraid of the coronavirus. If you catch the coronavirus, he'll heal you.
Hey!
Come on now.
And if you don't get healed, and if you get sick, you'll get recovered, and that'll be a testimony to Jesus.
Right.
And if you do, and if the Lord decides to take you, well, that's even better too. Because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I know a lot of you ain't going to like this, but it's the truth, my friend. Listen, how can we say we love Jesus, but we don't want to be with Jesus? Now, God wants you to stay here because he wants you to preach the gospel.
That's right.
So therefore, none of you are going to fall victim to that virus. I declare it, I decree it in the name of Jesus. You don't have to fear death. There is no sting in you. Devil, you're a liar. You will live, you will survive, and you will come out on the other side. He says, this is what he tells Thomas. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you.
Yeah.
Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here. Jesus heard him. Just like Jesus hears all your doubts and all your complaints and all your words. Ooh, come on, somebody. Be careful what you say. He says, put your finger here. See my hands. Reach your hand and put it in my side.
Wow.
Sounds like how he dealt with Peter when he denied him 3 times. Thomas had a Peter experience. He said, listen to what he said. Then he says, stop doubting and believe. Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. Then Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Jesus is here dealing with the doubting Thomas. And in essence, Jesus told Thomas, you know what he said? You know what he was really telling Thomas? He says, you want evidence? Then, here it is. Aquí está. You want evidence? There. Here. Here it is. Look, put your finger in my hand. Put your hand in my side. You want evidence? I give you evidence. Huh? And God is telling the church and God is telling people today, you want evidence? I'll give you evidence. God is still giving evidence today, my friend.
Right.
Huh? It's there. Listen to what he said. Listen to what you said. He said, it's here. Thomas, it's here. You want evidence? It's right here. Where? Where? In my body.
That's right. It's good.
In my body.
It's good.
Come on now.
Huh? He said, the evidence is in my body, Thomas. The evidence is in my body, in my hand, in my side. It's in my body, Thomas. Let me ask you a question, church, for those of you theologians. Who is the body? Come on, somebody. Who is the body? Answer that in the comments. Who is the body? Who is the body of Christ? I said, who is the body of Christ? We are the body of the living Christ. We are the body of Christ. You want evidence? Get up here, worship team. You want evidence? There's evidence right here. You want evidence? There's evidence right here. Two young girls loving God. Come on, somebody. You want evidence? Pastor Josh, get up here. Brother Brian, get up here. You want evidence? You got your evidence. Shelby, get up here. Come on, somebody. Honey, come on over here real quick. You want evidence? You got your evidence right here. You want evidence? Go look in the mirror. Go look in the mirror. There's the evidence. We are the body. The devil thought he could destroy the church. The devil thought he could hold us back. Oh, but I got news for the devil. The evidence, the proof is in the pudding. You ain't hearing me. Come on, somebody. You're looking at an ex-gang member, an ex-drug addict. You're looking at a young man right here who is on his way to prison, on his way to being depressed, suicidal. You're looking at a young woman and young ladies that were on their way to a crazy lifestyle. Oh, but the evidence of the power of God, the evidence that he lives, is that he has changed us. He has rearranged us. And we're never the same. The evidence is in his body. I see evidence in you. I see the evidence in you, Brother Joe. And you, Sister Tina. And you, Brother Irvin. And Sister Amy. And you, the Martinez family. And you, Karen. And you, Alex. And you, Carl. And you, Michelle. And you, the men's home. Jose, Alex. I see the evidence in the body of Christ. We are the evidence, my friend. This is why, my friend, we don't need to hide from the world, my friend. It may seem like right now we're cooped up. Oh, but I got news. God, listen, God is gonna, he's gonna unleash the church. I believe right now, as we're going through Resurrection Sunday, and he rose from the dead, the Bible says that he just appeared to the church. He just appeared to the disciples. But about 40 to 50 days later, you know what would happen, honey? You know what would happen, church? What happened 40 to 50 days later? The day of Pentecost happened. And you know what that meant? Those first few days were for the church. I want you to know this time that we're in quarantine, this time that we're at home, it's for the church to be strengthened. It's for the church to be united. It's for the church to draw closer in prayer, draw closer in the word of God, draw closer in fasting, draw closer in power to be discipled and be trained. Because in a few days, the Holy Ghost is about to fall. And revival is going to hit the land. Yeah. Thank you, guys. The evidence is in my body, he said. You want evidence? You got your evidence, Thomas. And he told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. To the doubting Thomases of the world, to the doubting Thomases of the world, listen to me. because I know that you're watching. To the doubting Thomases of the world, there is hope. I'm not picking on you, man. I ain't putting you out there. This is between you and God. But I'm here to give you good news, doubting Thomas. I'm here to give you good news. Good news to a dying man is that he's going to live. The good news that there's still hope for the doubting Thomas. That Jesus still loves you and wants to walk into your situation and wants to reveal himself to you. To all the Thomases out there, Jesus loves you. Those of you that are struggling with doubt, struggling with fear, Jesus loves you and he wants to walk into your situation and say, peace be unto you. And to the rest of us, to the rest of us, you know what he says? He says, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Come on, somebody. Huh? Come on, if that's you, come on, just give me some likes, give me some hearts. Come on, if that's you, just say, that's me right there, Pastor. That's me. You're speaking to me right there. I haven't seen it, but I believe him. And so if you're a doubting Thomas, just put on that. That's me, Pastor, but that's okay because God still loves me. Because I had a lot of doubts when I came to God, and I had a lot of fears too. But listen, I have learned Jesus walked into my miserable life and he gave me peace. Jesus has shown me the evidence. Listen, there's evidence of he lives. There's evidence of the resurrection. There's evidence of the Bible. There's evidence, my friend. It's there. But even if you're a doubting Thomas, he still loves you. And for the rest of us, huh? He said, blessed are those who have not seen, yet believe. You know why they believe? They believe by faith. They believe by faith. I came to God by faith, man. I came to God by faith. I came to God by faith. I needed God to change my life. I was a gang member. I was a drug addict. I was a drug dealer. I was on the run from the police. You know my story. God said, you know what he told me? I was on the run from the police. I was about to go to prison for a long time. And you know what he told me? You know what God told me? He told me to turn myself in. He said, I got you. Turn yourself in. That took a lot of faith. That took a lot of faith, because you know a brother like me never turned himself in. When the little lights came on, you know you're supposed to pull over, I took off. It took a lot of faith for me to say, okay, God, I'm going to trust what you're saying. And I said, God, if you're going to tell me, if you're telling me to turn myself in, that means I'm not going to do no time. That means you're going to cause the case to be thrown out. But did that happen? No, I still did time. My faith grew because I learned that even in the midst of my trials, God is able to keep me. He's able to protect me. He's able to change my life. I came to God by faith. I like what my pastor, he would always say this, my pastor, he would always say this. He would say, I was just dumb enough to believe. When I first heard that, I was like, what did he say again? He said, I was just dumb enough to believe. I was just dumb enough to believe God. And that was like a Selah moment. Come on, somebody. That was like like an awe moment. And I started thinking about it. I said, you know what? Me too. I'm a dummy too. Hello, somebody. You can learn a lot from a dummy. Well, I'd rather be a dummy for... I was a dummy for the devil. Huh? Come on, don't look at me like that. Huh? You were too. Come on, somebody. Huh? You fell for it. Amen. Huh? I was just dumb enough to believe God. I was just dumb enough to believe, man. You know what? I put my faith in God that he was going to change me. He was going to save me. He was going to save my children. He was going to save my family. He was going to do a miracle in my life. He was going to turn my wretched life around. The problem is that some people are too smart to believe. That's the problem. Some are too smart to believe. You know, there's a meme going around right now that says that the atheist says there is no God because I can't see him. But yet you go around wearing a mask and gloves because of the coronavirus. which you can't see. It's time to open up your eyes of faith. It's time to open up your heart and let Jesus in. Jesus left the tomb. Why? To fill your heart. Jesus left the tomb to fill your heart. The tomb is empty so that your life wouldn't be empty. Get that. Give your life to Jesus today. You want evidence? I'm giving you evidence. It's right here. It's standing before you right here. What Jesus did for me, he'll do for you. Give your life to Jesus. Christian, quit doubting God. Quit living in fear. Quit living in fear. Rebuke fear. Don't doubt. Every time we fear and worry, it's like, we're doubting God. Believe that he's able to protect you and keep you.
That's right.
He's able to get you through this pandemic. Yes. You don't have to walk in fear. You don't have to react in fear. You don't have to talk in fear, move in fear. Believe God. I know he lives because I know he lives because of the empty tomb, because he woke me up this morning, and so many more other reasons why I know he lives. I know that he lives because what I see around me, the church that is growing even in the midst of a pandemic. I want you to stand to your feet right there. Lift your hands to the Lord. Come on, lift your hands. Come on, worship God. Don't log off. A lot of times at the altar call, people start to log off. No. We still have altar call, church. This is not a time to walk out. This is a time to let the Holy Spirit grab a hold of your life. Right there where you're at, lift your hands. If you're not a Christian and God ministered to you, give your life to Jesus right now. You say, well, how do I do that? Just say this simple prayer. Say, Jesus, come into my life. Come on, say it. Say, Jesus, come into my life. If you want Jesus to come into your heart and save you, if you're tired of running, you want to be changed, if you want your heart to be filled, if you're tired of living an empty life, then go ahead and tell Jesus to come into your life. Say this prayer. Say, Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Save me, oh God. I believe you're the Son of God. You died on the cross for my sins, and you resurrected on the third day. In the name of Jesus, if you said that prayer, you're saved. You're a Christian. You're on your way to heaven. Lift your hands right there where you're at. Worship the King. Worship the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Come on, worship Him. Worship Him. Yes, Lord.
Jesus, no other name like Jesus.
we worship you and we thank you on this beautiful Resurrection Sunday, yes. God. Lord, we praise you, God, for the many that tuned in and that heard the gospel being preached, Lord, all day, not just here in our church, but in churches all over the world, God, that are going viral, God, Lord, that are going virtual, God. We thank you, Lord, God. Lord, God, while the enemy has tried to infect this world with the sickness, Lord, what the devil meant for bad, you have turned it around for good, because you are infecting lives, you are infecting families. You are infecting people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we praise you, Father God, because you deserve all the honor and all the glory, Lord. We love you, King Jesus, and we praise your holy name in the mighty, matchless name of Jesus. Come on, somebody give the Lord some praise here this morning. Come on, give him a shout. Give him a praise. Give him a hallelujah. Give him a thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Listen, we had a great time with you. We're so glad that you tuned in. Amen. Listen, those that are going to help us, amen, with our little plan that we have, listen, make your way here. Amen. We're going to do something special for our kids gang. Amen. And so listen, those of you that are part of it, we want you to come on down. Amen. We're going to kick it off. Amen. It's going to be a great time. We also want to give some shout outs to those that have been watching. Amen. We want to thank you guys for watching here this morning. Brother Gilbert still logged in. Amen. Brother Abraham Espinosa, amen, logged in from the LB, amen. We want to thank you for tuning in as well, amen. Sister Irene, all the way in North Carolina, she's been tuned in. Also, we hope that you were blessed, amen. And there's so many of you that have been watching, amen. Praise the Lord. But we want to thank you for tuning in. We love you. We're praying for you. Have a happy Resurrection Sunday. I know some of you are going to cook out in your backyard. You're probably going to have your own little Easter egg hunt for your kids. Go for it. Be blessed. Amen. Have a great time. And also stay safe. Amen. We love you. God bless you. You are dismissed. Hallelujah.
Did it sound like that on the